This morning, I'd like to share a number with you. Are you ready? I'm glad that Mr. Gladding is here so he can help me with this number. Maybe Mr. Hartman can help me with his number too. Okay, the number is 28. Pastor Freddie could probably help too. I don't know. 28, okay? What am I referring to? Maybe. But first, I want to let you know what it is not what I'm referring to. Mr. Spano, it is not the number of countries in the European Union. Mr. Hartman, it is not the atomic number of... He's thinking. Nickel. Nor is it the atomic mass of silicon. Oh, I'm excited. I'm actually winning a quiz over Mr. Hartman. Pastor Fred, it is not the number of letters, Hebrew letters, in Genesis 1:1. Nor is it the 28 fundamental beliefs. But if you have been following the Olympics at all this week or last week, and as Pastor Fred already blurted out, yes, it is the number of medals that Michael Phelps has won over his career of Olympic medals. 28 medals, 23 gold medals even. That is an incredible feat. This guy is the most decorated Olympic athlete of all time. And his physique actually kind of contributes to that. He's got gigantic feet, size 14 flippers. Not feet, they're flippers because they're big. His wingspan, usually your wingspan is about the same as your height, but he's disproportionate. He has 6'7" wingspan to his 6'4" height. So his long arms help to propel him through the water. And the flexibility of his ankles, he can extend his ankles beyond the point of a ballet dancer. So that they become like little whips in the water as he's propelling himself to Olympic gold. Now, I kind of wonder about this, and I think of his experience and his records that he has set, and I wonder what about all of the other swimmers who are trying to compete against the greatest? I mean, think of it. I would hate to be in my prime of swimming at my ability at this time in the age if I was an Olympic swimmer, because you got Michael Phelps to contend with. It's almost like a David and Goliath story, right? There were a couple people that have defeated Michael Phelps, in fact. Last Olympics in London, if you recall maybe, 4 years ago, 2012, Chad Leclos from South Africa, he beat out Michael Phelps in the butterfly, one of Phelps's signature swims. Beat him. This year, Leclos didn't even medal, if you saw that. 8 years ago in Beijing, another swimmer by the name of Kavik lost to Michael Phelps, all because he didn't quite touch the finish plate 1/100th of a second faster than Michael Phelps. That quick, faster than the blink of an eye, Michael Phelps won. Just an amazing, amazing feat that he has done in his Olympic career. Now, if you've been watching the Olympics, they're wrapping up over this coming weekend. I love the Olympics. Winter Olympics, Summer Olympics. They just got some great stories, great, amazing human feats that take place. And it's about winning and losing as well. And so when we look at the Olympics, we can actually apply some of the principles from the Olympics to life into our life Olympics, or life seems to mirror the Olympic Games. Every day, life sends us through different emotions, just as Olympic athletes go through different emotions of joy or depression, the highs and the lows, the winning and the losing, the elation and the defeat. This happens to us almost every day. It can happen every month. It can happen every school year. We will definitely have highs and lows throughout the school year. When I was an academy student, they told me it was called the roller coaster. Maybe you can relate to this. How you have moments where you're up on the mountaintop and other times where you're down in the valley. And they told me when I was in academy, they said, whenever you're on that roller coaster and you feel the ups and downs, and even if you feel like in your spiritual life, you kind of are on the right track because you're still on the track. If you're flatlining, that's when you start getting worried. But if you can recall in your Christian experience moments when you were feeling like you were on the mountaintop with Jesus and you were so close you could touch him, or if you're in the valley and you feel like, I can't quite see Jesus, but that's sometimes when he's the closest as well. And so every time in our life, every day almost, every week, we go through these periods of ups and downs. Kind of thinking about the Olympians. When they win, they're elated. Number one, gold medal. Ah, it's gold, yeah. Actually, they're only 6 grams gold and like 37 grams silver, but that's okay. But we have the highs and the lows throughout even our spiritual life. And for any Olympian, whether he wins or whether she loses, their goal is that gold medal. We briefly looked at this some last week. We talked about how our goal is heaven, how we are citizens of a higher place. We're citizens not of this world, but we're citizens of heaven, and we are striving for eternal life. And to get there, we need to have some training. We run the race, and then we receive that prize. The Olympic Games are just like the games of life. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be looking at some of the words of Paul again, the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and Paul, I believe, is actually referring to these ancient Olympic Games. He's talking about running the race, receiving a prize. He's talking about training for that race even. And so if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24, this is what Paul says. This is what the Bible says. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So if you're running in the race, you're in the game. You're a part of the race. You're in the match. You're not sitting on the sidelines. All who are running the race, they all run. They're all striving for that prize, but only one of them gets the gold medal. And Paul says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for that prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Is anybody using the New Living Translation this morning? Okay, when Paul says in verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize, what are they doing? It's a T word. They are training. I'm using the New King James right here, and this is saying they are temperate. I believe that the New International Version says they are self-controlled. But this is their training. As any athlete knows, you have to train right to achieve the goals that you are trying to meet. If you're training for a race, you're going to put in the time, you're going to put in the right kind of sleep, you're going to put in the right kind of nutrition, because otherwise, you won't have the right kind of training. And so, as Christians, we are in this race towards eternal life, towards victories on a daily basis, But there's these three elements that when you're looking at, we're looking at the training that we take part in, we're looking at running the race, and then the prize at the end. So last week we talked briefly again about the training. We talked a little bit about how we can't jump into a race if we're not trained for that race. We're not going to race in a marathon if we're trained for a 100-meter swim. You might get a little distance in the marathon. Or you're not going to be playing water polo if you've trained for the shot put. You might have a little good arm strength there, but you might sink like a rock. That's the problem. So you put the training in for the race that you're going to take part in, the match that you're going to take part in. A number of years ago, I took part in a 5K race. I had put some training in. I had done some running. This was when I was a seminary student up in Michigan, and there was a 5K race in Elkhart, Indiana, just east of South Bend there, east of Mishawaka. And I towed the line on the starting line, and I set my watch. I saw the people who were lined up there with me. I said, these guys look like they're pretty well fit. Yeah, I'm pretty fit. I've put some training in. And the gun went off, and I went out fast with the leaders. Stop shaking your head. You know what happened, right? I kept up with the leaders for about a mile. And there's something in my mind that says I can never let anyone pass me in a race. It's something that I have ingrained in my mind or something. But let me tell you, people passed me that day. About a mile into it, I started slowing down. I was like, I can't keep running this sub-6-minute pace because that's what we were doing. Probably 5:50. And I was like, I got to slow down. So I finally slowed down a little bit. And I did what runners say you should never do, and that is you should try to always run a negative race, which means you run the second half faster than the first half. I ran a positive race where I ran slower in the second half and faster in the first half. And by the time I got to the finish line, I can't even remember what my time was. I'd have to go back and look at it. I finished, and I crossed over the finish line. And there my wife was. She's like, are you okay? Because you don't look all right. I said, I don't know. I got to sit down. And I had to sit down, and I had to put my head between my knees because I was afraid I was going to lose my breakfast. Never done that before. It was not a good feeling. I was not doing well because I had not trained for the pace that I was running. I had trained to finish the race, but not at the pace that I was going. I did not pace myself, and therefore, I burned out. I hit the wall, and I almost dropped out. Friends, when we are in this race called school, or in this race called life, or in this race even called retirement, we need to make sure that we have trained for the race and pace ourselves. God is not going to put you into a race that you are not prepared for. You may think you're not prepared for it, but He's preparing you. The person who's going to throw you into that race is going to be Satan, because he likes to throw his fiery darts at you, and he's going to put you in a marathon that is longer and harder than you have ever run. And unless we're trained for that, we're going to hit the wall. We're going to drop out. I like to think of training as connection with God. Connection with God. Each one of us in this room has a relationship with God. But how connected are we to that relationship? Do we connect with Him how often? Do we connect on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? I come to church and get my connection? Or is it something that we fill up that connection, that we connect with Him on a daily basis so that we are prepared for the day? An Olympic swimmer knows that the more he trains, the smarter he trains, the stronger he gets, the better he is at his race. As Christians who have a relationship with God, we know that the smarter we train or spend time with God, connecting with Him, the more able we are to run that race with perseverance. People say that they connect with God on many different ways. There's multiple ways. Many times you've heard, oh, you have to have your worship at 5 a.m, and you have to journal, and you have to pray, and you have to go through the 5 prayers of the sanctuary, and you have to do the Acts prayer, ACTS, adoration, confession, testimony, and supplication, or put, praise, us, them, and you have to do it this way. Well, you know what I ask you to do right now? Is to throw out any of those ideas that people have given you because they're man-made ideas and ask the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want to connect with you, not because I'm supposed to, not because I'm a teacher, not because I'm a parent, not because I'm a grandparent, not because I'm a student. I want to connect with you because I am your child. When I tell my kids I'm going to spend 30 minutes with you guys today, each one of you, you should see the joy that lights up on their faces. Because they want to spend time with Daddy. And my friends, throw out anything that any other pastor or Bible teacher has ever said about spending time with God and doing it in this particular way, and just say, God, I'm here. I want to spend time with you. I want to connect. And in those moments, God will speak to you, and He will show you where to open to, whether it's the Gospels or the Psalms or the Proverbs or the Old Testament or wherever it is, God will show you what you need for that day. My friends, that's the training. You can sing a song, you can pray, you can serve, all sorts of ways that you can connect with God. How is your training going today? As we are trained, we are more ready for the race ahead. And the race ahead can throw us all sorts of twists and turns. Kind of like what happened with Nikki Hamblin from the New Zealand this week. The country of New Zealand, from the New Zealand. I think like I'm from California. You take the 5 to get there, right? She was from New Zealand, and she ran in the women's 5,000 meters. On Tuesday, it was the first semifinal round, and Nikki Hamblin was running the race. There was about 3/4 of a mile left, and she wasn't quite exactly where she wanted to be, but she was in the race. She was about in the back half of the pack, and all of a sudden, she ended up in a place that she never thought that she would end up in. She was on the ground. All of a sudden, thoughts went into her mind. What happened? How did I get here? What's going on? And as she laid on the ground with her forehead on her arm, face down on the track, not getting up, just breathing heavily, she felt a hand on her shoulder. It was a fellow competitor. It was Abby DiAgostino from the United States. She had tripped up with Nikki. And she had fallen as well. And she touched Nikki and she said, get up. We have to finish this. And she helped Nikki stand up and she picked her up. And they started to continue the race together. I don't know if you saw this. Maybe you saw it. If you didn't, go back and look at the highlights. And as Abby is running there alongside with Nikki, all of a sudden Abby's knee buckles and she falls to the ground again. And then Nikki turns around and says, come on, get up. And she helps up Abby. And Abby tries to run again, and her knee buckles again, and she falls again. And she just waves on Nikki and says, go finish the race. Go finish the race. And Abby gets up, and she stumbles, and she starts to run and trot again, a little bit slower this time. But at the end of the race, they finished the last two. second to last, and dead last. As they cross the finish line, Abby and Nikki embrace in a hug. They had never met before. They embrace in a hug, and tears are flowing down, and they're so happy to be at the Olympics and to have finished the race, even though they had fallen. But knowing that there was someone by their side encouraging them, and even a fellow competitor that picked her up. Race officials actually let the two ladies compete in the final, which was yesterday, the women's 5K final. Abby actually couldn't compete because her knee, she actually tore her ACL when she fell, and her meniscus, and she had a strained MCL, or whatever the other one is, yet she still continued to run and finish the race. But not every race goes as you hope, does it? Not every day in your life goes as you hope. I know there's times when I have things planned out for the day and something happens and I don't get to what I want to get to. It can be frustrating. Your day doesn't always go as it plans. There's mishaps, there's trips, there's falls, there's stumbles. It's hard running the race of life. Anybody ever run a road race? Anybody ever run a marathon? They're not easy. It's hard. There's times of defeat, times of trial, times of difficulty. But my friends, God will be there like a fellow runner. Get up. Let's go. Let's finish this race. Let me run with you. Come on, I'll help you. And it's those high moments when God runs with you. It's those low moments when God will also run with you. He's your running partner. Let's look at a few words from Paul again in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 talks about trials and tribulations that we have as well. But Paul says we don't mourn tribulations. We don't get depressed when trouble comes. He says we celebrate. Sometimes I wonder if Paul should have gone for a psychiatric questioning because he says things like that. Because who wants to celebrate when you're troubled? But Paul says we do that because this is what he says. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, not only that, we also glory in tribulations. We boast when we face these trials, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Keep going, push through. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. So Paul says, persevere, push through that trial, push through the pain. Know that God is with you. And when we know what the end is, it's easier to push through that race. Each race, each individual, each one of you have a specific race in your life that is unique to you. Your race is not my race. My race is not your race. And what happens sometimes is we get on the track and we get in a little hamster wheel called life and we run around the track and we start looking, oh look, yeah, there's Adolfo in front of me. I wonder if I can catch him. Or, hey, look behind me. Joe's behind me. I'm doing better than he is. And we start to compete and compare with one another. But your race is not my race. And my race is not yours. It's individual. As we looked at last week, where are we to focus? On each other? Focus on Jesus. We push aside everything that hinders us. We fix our eyes on Jesus, and we look to him. And then Jesus says, come on, I'll run with you. Don't give up. Persevere. Strengthen. I'll be with you. It's how the Olympians win the gold, right? They persevere. They train hard. They persevere through that difficult race, and then they receive the reward. James chapter 1. The scripture we read this morning, James chapter 1. And I like how the New International Version reads it. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one. King James, New King James, they'll say blessed is the man, but I think he's speaking pretty general because if you've looked around, there's women that run in the race too. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's that imperishable crown that Paul talks about. It's not the gold medal that will deteriorate. It's not the, in ancient times, the wreath of the olive wreath or whatever it was. This is the crown of life that God has promised. The promise that he has made when he said, persevere, don't give up, you will receive that reward. Pushing through is hard. It's not easy to stay up late and study for that physics exam or that organic chemistry test that you have. But pushing through will give you that reward. It's the difference between Olympic champions and couch potatoes. Right? One of the differences between Olympic champions and couch potatoes. The deadbeat doesn't do diddly. Life's too hard. Someone else should do it. I can pay them to do that. I don't want to sweat. It's bad for my pores. But the deadbeat doesn't do diddly, right? Rather just sit there and let someone else do your work. I don't want to do it because it's too hard. If you've lived any time in this world, you know that life is not easy. And if we are to be God's Olympians, God asks us to persevere through the trial, through that temptation, fight the temptation. Have Jesus fight for you and surrender that to him. Because wasn't the ultimate Olympian someone who had a rough life? I mean, from the time that Jesus was born, it was not an easy life. He was ridiculed as he was a child because he was a goody two-shoes. And then he was tested and tempted repeatedly by Satan, harder than you or I will ever have been tested. And the religious leaders of the day, the priests of the day, the educated ones of the day, were constantly badgering him, trying to get him to stumble or fall over his words or say something wrong. He was falsely accused as a criminal, hung on a tree, died the worst death imaginable, buried in a borrowed tomb. But did Jesus persevere? He sure did. You bet he did. He persevered because of his love for you and for me. And he is the one that we are to look to. Not to one another. Not to compete. Your race is yours. And when we receive that crown, as James talks about, it's not something that we gloat about. It's not something that we say, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm in heaven and you're burning. Okay. That's not what it's going to be at all. We're going to be tearful, I'm sure, happy to be there, happy to have made that victory. And that's one thing I've been impressed about the Olympics this year. I haven't seen really any sorry winners, any arrogant winners. There's been maybe a couple sore losers, but some of the ones that have completed and have made it on the top of the pedestal, they're giving the glory to God. And it's good to see that, because that's where all the glory goes to, especially when we stand on the pedestal of heaven and God puts that crown not around our neck like a gold medal, but on top of our head. And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your master." That's what the prize that we are straining for. Sometimes those victories happen weekly, daily. Sometimes when we talk about the prize or the race that we run, we talk about the race of life, and at the end of our life, when we have passed on, we've raced well and finished well. But what about right now? What race are you running right now? What kind of training have you put in for this school year? Or during this school year, what is the training you will put in? What is the race that you are competing for? Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Michael Phelps sure has persevered under trial, hasn't he? If you read his story outside of swimming, he's had ups and downs of emotions and even thoughts of ending his own life. But he's persevered. He ends his career on a high note. And just this last week, the anchor of NBC Olympics, Bob Costas, he interviewed Michael Phelps. And he compared his performance from London 4 years ago to his performance in Rio this last week. And he says, "You know, in London, you had 4 gold medals and 2 silver medals. Now here in Rio, you've had 5 gold medals and 1 silver medal. Not too much of an improvement statistically speaking. What do you think about that?" Don't you just love reporters, how they make you feel bad about yourself and want to hear your experience? This is what Michael Phelps said. He replied and he said, "You know, where I am now is exactly how I want to finish." He finishes on a high note, you could say. Yeah, 5 gold medals, 1 silver, that's a high note. But where I am now is exactly how I want to finish. I ask you guys the question today: how do you want to finish? Not speaking about your final resting place. How about today? How would you like to finish today? How would you like to finish next week? How would you like to finish the first quarter of school? To finish well, we must race well. To race well, we must also train well. And when the race gets tough, do we throw in the towel? Do we give up, throw up our hands and say, "I'm done"? We keep running. We keep persevering. We know that God is running with us as our training partner. And so, my friends, I encourage you this school year, as we begin off on a high note, as we run this race, don't do what I did in that little 5K. Don't go out too fast. Pace yourself. Recognize when you need a little more training. Encourage your running partner to race with you and persevere to the victory party at the end. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we have looked at the races of this past week, the Olympics have been incredible, but as we think about our own personal race, what you have done in our lives is even more incredible. And so, Lord, we thank you We thank you for your protection and your providence. We thank you for your guidance and your watch care over us, and continue to run this race with us. May you lead us and may you guide. In Jesus' name, amen.